listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue here on your Tuesday morning. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Jared Dubin joining us, CBS Sports. Talk some NBA with him from the draft last week to the Kyrie Irving news. Let's talk about the association. How are you, Jared? Thanks for joining us.
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. All right, the Kyrie Irving situation, opting in, it looks like there was talk about movement. It ends up not being the case. How do we read this from Kyrie's point of view and also from where Brooklyn stands with him?
I think it's kind of both the same read, which is that even if he wanted to go somewhere, there were not too many people all that interested in handing him the type of contract that he would be looking for in free agency, whether as an outright free agent or as part of a sign-and-trade. You know, the Nets can still trade him on the deal that he's currently on, but it would only be on a one-year deal as opposed to somebody committing to him long-term.
From the standpoint of Kevin Durant, I mean, that was sort of the X factor for me, was like, did anybody get Kevin Durant's read on this? Did anybody get Kevin Durant's read on this?
I mean, I think he was pretty open about it on his podcast, right? Like, he was going to let Kyrie do whatever he wanted and then make his decision from there. I don't know why Kyrie leaving would be the thing that would make him say, all right, I'm done, because it's not like Kyrie's been on the court with him all that often
right,
to begin with. I mean, those two guys have barely played that many games together since they've been with that team, you know, for various reasons, obviously, whether it was KD's injury in the first year or Kyrie's injury in the second year and KD's injury in the second year and Kyrie's odyssey this year, for all the different things that he missed time for, and KD missed time with his own injury again. But, you know, they're good friends, and they came to Brooklyn to play together. So that was the decision that he made, but it looks like they'll be there for at least one more year. So,
all right, let's go to another situation from yesterday, and that John Wall gets the buyout from Houston, expected to sign with the Clippers. How much of this affects the Clippers, and where do you see that?
I really like that for both them and for him. They are obviously a very, very good team with a lot of depth, especially wing depth, and they can play a lot of different ways with flexibility, just pairing all of those different guys on the wing that they had together. The one thing they didn't really have was sort of like a guy that really knows how to just run offense, and I think we've seen that when they've been in the playoffs the last few years, where there were times where their offense could get bogged down, even when they had Kawhi and Paul George on the floor. Those guys are able to drive offense, obviously, on their own, but they're not necessarily elite high-level playmakers for others. And, you know, even though John Wall is not the same as he was physically and is not going to be, you know, the John Wall that we saw 4 or 5 years ago, that dude absolutely knows how to run offense. He's an elite passer with great, great, great court vision, and that's really going to help them, even if it's only for, you know, as a backup point guard and the guy that can, you know, close games on occasion when, you know, Reggie Jackson doesn't have it going, or, you know, they don't have to overly tax him, but they can use him when they need him, and I think it's going to be really big for them.
All right, let's talk about the draft from Thursday night. Banchero, Holmgren, and Smith were pretty much 1, 2, 3, and you can mix them up in ways however people were sort of predicting that. But overall, it seemed like Jabari Smith was heading to Orlando with that first pick. Was it that much of a surprise that Banchero was the number one pick?
I think it was a surprise to everyone except the bookmakers on Wednesday night.
Right, yes, exactly.
When the odds went crazy for Banchero going number one, and then obviously Woj reported in the morning, hey, it's still going to be Jabari Smith, and then the odds went crazy that way, and then like 2 hours later, it was like, no, actually, it's going to be Banchero. My thing is, I don't understand, if you're the number one pick, why you need to run a smokescreen.
Yeah, no doubt.
Everybody and their mother thought they were drafting Jabari Smith, but you know, they got the guy they wanted in the end anyway.
Let's go to the fourth pick. This was highly criticized. Keegan Murray of Iowa goes to the Kings when everyone thought they should take Jaden Ivey. Is that strong criticism? Is that worthwhile criticism for Sacramento?
I think it depends on the reason that they wanted to take Murray instead of Ivey. You know, you may remember a few years ago, they decided they wanted to take Marvin Bagley instead of Luka Doncic, because
right,
they already had a lead ball handler in De'Aaron Fox, as if, you know, you can't have two lead ball handlers in the NBA, or you don't need two lead ball handlers in the NBA. If they did this same thing here and they're like, we're going to take Keegan Murray because we already have De'Aaron Fox, and you know, we had him with Tyrese Halliburton, and that didn't work as well as we wanted it to, and we don't want to take another lead ball handler, so we're not taking Ivy, then I think that's a mistake. If they just thought that Murray is the better prospect outright, then I think that makes more sense. I didn't necessarily feel that way, but obviously, you know, my player evaluation record is not perfect, just like nobody else's is perfect. You know, the Kings are maybe less perfect than most other teams in the world, but that doesn't mean that they're always wrong. You know, there are situations where they could possibly be right, you know, like taking Tyrese Halliburton, for example. But they did wind up trading him a couple years later, so...
Speaking of player evaluation, what was the read from people on Shaedon Sharpe, the kid from Kentucky who never played at Kentucky? That is seriously a trust us, we know what we're doing, because nobody, no fan really had access to anything he did.
Sure, yeah. I mean, for me, it's tough because, you know, you watch him play and, you know, you're looking at things like high school where you don't necessarily know the talent level, and then there's EYBL, which you're somewhat more familiar with the talent level, just because, I mean, it's in the name, like Elite Youth Basketball League. So you would think that the competition there is a little bit stronger. But for me personally, at least, it's just tougher to evaluate because, you know, I can't say, you know, he's playing against Team X in EYBL, and I know what, you know, the history of the talent level of that program is, and I know what that means if he's able to do this against this kind of defense. Like, if I watch someone play against, you know, Virginia's defense, I know what that means if they're able to do something. It's obviously different for NBA talent evaluators because they're more familiar with those type of leagues. But it does, like you said, it's tougher for fans to deal with because they're not as familiar with that competition. And it's, you know, it's tougher for media people too because we're not as familiar with that competition, right, unless we're, you know, specifically focused on the draft.
What did you make of the player depth in terms of the talent? It seemed like, you know, a lot of teams were getting pretty good grades based on who was available because there were a lot of good fits for a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was sort of a flat draft class, if that makes sense. Like, not too much difference in, you know, the latter half of the first round and, like, the early part of the second round, things like that. It was not a draft where you're like, oh my God, I can't believe we got this guy at 26. He's amazing and should have been a lottery pick. But it was like, you know, we got this guy at 26. He might not be that much worse than the guy that whoever else got at 15. So I think that, you know, teams can feel pretty good about, you know, the players they got in that sense.
What are you looking forward to coming up later this week with free agency? Who are one or two of the names that you're really paying attention to?
I'm looking at the restricted free agents. Like, I want to see what's going to happen with DeAndre Ayton, with Miles Bridges. I think those are two potentially really interesting situations where if they wind up on certain teams, that can, you know, have a pretty big effect on the league. And then, you know, because I'm a masochist, I would like to see who the New York Knicks are going to.
Of course.
You know, what they're going to do. I'm a lifelong Knicks fan and long-suffering and everything else. I would like, you know, my father saw the Knicks win two championships when he was in his teens. I've never seen that happen. It would be nice if the Knicks would get their act together at some point, but I don't have particularly high hopes.
I agree with you completely, my friend. Jared, always good talking to you, my man. Thanks so much, as always.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You got it. Progressive Insurance Hotline. That is Jared Dubin of CBS. That's great. Another suffering Knicks fan. It's not quite Cubs Red Sox. I'm not going down there, but my goodness, you talk to Knicks fans, and I got some in my family. It's just a shake your head type of thing all the time, never knowing what the heck they're doing. They feel like you get them good, and then nope, not quite. Oh, we got this, and this doesn't really work out. It's crazy, absolutely crazy. All right, again, Steve Gardner is going to join us coming up at 40 past the hour. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball with him and talk about some of the teams that have met expectations so far in this first half, some of the teams that haven't, and is there time to get back on track? We'll also talk about a couple of other things in Major League Baseball, including the Seattle Mariners and Angels brawl, and is there a real possibility that the Oakland A's could move to Las Vegas? There is one thing that has me believing that, yeah, it actually could happen, more than likely. I'll tell you what that is next. It's Sports Map Radio. Tony D, Ron Culver, and it's Wake Up Call.